Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So our message today is, let's be honest. And this verse that Crystal just read offers reassurance and encouragement, promising God's presence, strength, and support for those who trust in him. So let's kind of dive into that verse if we could. Do not fear, for I am with you. This highlights God's constant presence and companionship, assuring believers that they are not alone in their struggles. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. This emphasizes God's authority and his personal relationship with those who believe in him, offering comfort and hope in times of difficulty. I will strengthen you. This promises divine power to overcome challenges and persevere in the face of difficulties. I will help you. This assures believers of God's active assistance and support in their needs. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This brings a sense of God's powerful and just protection, suggesting he will hold them securely and victoriously. Isaiah 41:10 is a reminder that even in difficult circumstances, believers can find strength, comfort, and hope in God's presence, power, and faithfulness. But let's be honest here. When we are facing unthinkable trials and tribulations in our life, how strong is your faith? Can I cling to God's promises of never leaving or forsaking me? Do I go to God first when anxiety steps in, when the unthinkable happens? Or do I allow Satan to enter my mind and instill fear? Do I blame God for allowing things to happen? Do I distance myself from God when I'm under stress? Is it because I'm trying to handle it all on my own? Because I don't believe he is true and I doubt. There was a time in my life when you could have compared me to Zacchaeus, the tax collector. No, not that he was despised by many or self-centered, or even that he was a wee little man. No, because he was curious enough to want to see Jesus, but not really be involved or afraid, feeling unworthy because of his past. In Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, the passage describes Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, a wealthy chief tax collector in Jericho who was determined to see Jesus despite being short in stature. Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree to get a better view, and Jesus, upon seeing him, invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. This encounter led Zacchaeus to express repentance by giving half of his possessions to the poor and repaying anyone who he had cheated four times the amount. Jesus, upon seeing Zacchaeus, called out his name, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm coming to your house." Yikes. If I'm Zacchaeus, I'm probably thinking, my house has not been cleaned. I'm not ready yet for you to come to my house. I have a lot of sin in that house, my disbelief, my doubts. But Jesus states he's coming. But why? Well, what Zacchaeus doesn't know yet is that Jesus wants to free him from all these things, just like he wants to free us from our fears, our anxieties, our sadness, our grief, our disbelief. So we are to let him in, let him see our sins, our ugliness. He wants us to surrender to him. He wants to free us from all of these burdens. It took me years to choose to go to Jesus instead of turning away from him. To be honest, it's easy to turn away. But by doing so, we allow Satan to intervene. What do I mean by that? Well, as soon as you turn away, think about it, you start blaming, you start fearing, you start doubting, and before long, you stop believing. How do I know? Well, here was my typical fork in the road. I would immediately question or blame Jesus. Why? Jesus, how dare you? We're good people. We did good things in the world. Why me? Why us? Why him? They were someone I love, Lord. Why would you take them away from me? If this is what you believe or you do, I know how you feel. I've been there. As a little girl who had been terribly abused by my own father, as a young adult losing my mother way before her time and being so mad at God for taking her away from me, the hate I felt towards God for all of those terrible things that happened in my life because I blamed him. I didn't understand Jesus. I didn't understand his word. I didn't know the Lord or have a relationship with him. And to be honest, I had missed it for most of my life. And my daily life had been a struggle emotionally. And it spilled out into others in my life on a daily basis. But now, as someone who has finally allowed Jesus in my house, surrendering to him, knowing he's walking with me, with us through this life, I know he doesn't cause any of these trials in our lives. I've learned this through understanding his word, through study and prayer, and then finally having a personal relationship with him. While driving home recently from our latest mission trip in Louisiana to a children's home recreational camp, I spotted this billboard that was an advertising for a foundation waterproofing company that read, "Because your foundation is cracked, your footing is compromised and unstable." It caught my eye, and my mind immediately thought about that phrase, cracked foundation, which can refer to a situation where someone's beliefs or values are shaken. It made me think as we were driving, knowing even at this point in March that I was filling the pulpit for Pastor Kayla, asking God, is this what I'm supposed to be preaching about? I started reflecting on that drive home about our situation, facing medical visits for Marty one after another as soon as we arrive home for his upcoming surgery, dealing with a lot of anxieties unknowns for the past few months before that. I found myself at that crossroad, like many times before in my life, asking myself, do I believe? Can I trust him? Can we face this with confidence that you will help us through this? I am so grateful in this season of my life that I fully understand how much you, God, love us, you love me, and you want to help free us from all these burdens and hurts in our lives. And I remind myself of the scripture, as Pam talked about last week, take my yoke upon you, which appears in Matthew 11:28. It's an invitation from Jesus to those who are weary and burdened and to find rest in following him. He promises that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. The yoke in this context represents a way of life and teaching of Jesus. He's telling us that his way is easy. Depend on him, lean on him, not on your own ways, trying to fix things on your own because they never really go smoothly that way, do they? You want to take over, and that's natural. I had a pastor tell me once when I confessed about my childhood trauma, telling me how I told him how I thought I had worked through all of that trauma on my own, only to have it haunt me and over again each and every day. And he looked me in the eyes and said, so how's that working out for you? He said, Donna, you were never meant to go through this alone. None of us are. It's not always easy. Our pride wants to push back. Sometimes our own survival instincts want to kick in. Or maybe we turn away and allow Satan to intervene. I remember the scripture passage, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And that's Psalm 32:8, which tells us of God's guidance and promises to lead, instruct, and counsel believers, reminding them to trust in his wisdom and direction. This verse encourages us to seek God's guidance and to trust that he will lead them on the right path. I'll make good of the bad. I have a plan for you, a purpose. I'll take those bad things and somehow make good of them, and I can attest to that truth. Most of you know of Marty's, my husband's, diagnosis of a cancer 4 years ago. And I have to say, I didn't blame God when we found this out, but believe me, I questioned him. How could you? I knew better. I knew he didn't cause this to happen. But while in that season, our small group had decided to start setting an alarm on our phones for 10 o'clock every day and pray for my husband for complete and total healing. My prayers were heartfelt, but they became so repetitive over time. When prayers weren't answered and how I wanted them to be, they became begging and pleading. And finally, over years, I didn't even know what to say, and the only words that would come out of my mouth were just Jesus. But at the very least, it connected me with him in those moments, reminding myself to focus on him and his unconditional love and compassion for our lives. There have been many times during these 4 years that I've also found myself saying, "Away with you, Satan," to leave me and my family alone in the name of Jesus. Like it tells us in James 4, submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee. In so doing this, it gives me inner peace. Jesus never said, if you follow me, it was going to be easy. He did, however, say in John 16, that in this world there will be trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. Good cheer? Really? You got to be kidding me. Why would I be of good cheer? But then he states, because I have overcome the world. He's telling us that we will have hardships and suffering in our lives, but he's also offering the assurance of hope and victory. He's saying he will show me a way that is good and purposeful and freeing, a life of peace that only he can give us. I want to live that kind of life, I hope that I am a witness to God's faithfulness. And I'm sure if you're honest, you want to live that kind of life too. Coincidence, maybe, that I noticed that billboard on the way home from Louisiana about the Crack Foundation. Maybe it was for a reason, to prepare me for what was coming. I think it was a God incidence. I do know there is a new season in our lives right now. It may not look like the old, but I also now know that God is not done with us yet, and he's making a new way. And he makes a new way each and every day with each and every one of our lives. So don't be a Zacchaeus up in a tree just looking and observing from a distance. Let Jesus in your house. He wants you to know him. Just open the door and let him in. And just a reminder, the Bible can keep the dark side out of your life, or the dark side can keep you out of the Bible. You choose. Let us pray. Father God, help us to believe that everything is possible for ones who believe. Help us when challenges wound our faith. Restore us, Lord, with your healing presence and life-giving words that remind us that you are ever present in our lives. Give us strength and perseverance, but mostly give us the peace that only you can provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.